Welcome to Everybody Can, a conversation about volunteers and volunteer opportunities in Jefferson and Clallam counties. I'm your host, Missy Nielsen, career counselor and committed community volunteer. Our show is inspired by the words and spirit of Dr. Martin Luther King, "Everybody can be great because everybody can serve." We bring you information about the people who volunteer, serve on boards, donate, and sometimes just show up to build what King called a beloved community. And indeed, this region reflects a beloved community in the number of folks engaged in community serving. And today we have with us Pam Cullisy and Carla Ellis from the Olympic Mountain Pet Pals organization. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
I was so excited to have you on. I was very curious. I ran across your organization, the Olympic Mountain Pet Pals, and I must confess, the first thing that came to my mind, I thought you were going to be an organization serving domestic goats. I read Olympic Mountain and I thought, this is cool. Here we have something serving our goat population. But no, what does your organization focus on here?
It's pretty funny.
I know. And as I read it, I thought, oh, okay, yes.
Well, and it is kind of a mouthful, so, and we may just default to saying Pet Pals or OMPP. That's what we generally do.
Very good. Let's do that. Okay. Let's go to Pet Pals.
Okay, that sounds good. Okay, well, Olympic Mountain Pet Pals has been around a long time. It's an offshoot of an organization that was originally called the Jefferson County Animal Services Auxiliary, and this goes pretty far.
I'm going to say that's a mouthful.
To the shelter on Howard Street, if anybody remembers the old Howard Street. Mm-hmm. And the shelter's gone through some iterations, and this organization did as well. In 2001, we had a whole turnover, and new board members saw the need to address the problem of cat and dog overpopulation in Jefferson County. So a program to provide financial assistance to lower-income county residents to spay and neuter their pets, and a trap-neuter-return program for feral or community cats were established with the assistance and guidance of local veterinarians.
So you partner with a couple of the nonprofit organizations, or I don't know if your Humane Society is considered for-profit, but veterinarians and nonprofits.
Correct.
And so you've got a spay and neuter program, and you have a feral cat. And then you have your two other programs that you provide for the community.
In about 2004, we branched out a little and formed a therapy dog outreach program. So we also sponsor a program called Read to Rover, which Carla will tell you more about, and we are in schools at Salish, Chimicum, and a new program in Quilcene, which we're pretty excited about. So
now,
it's growing.
That's fantastic. So you serve Jefferson County and Clallam counties then?
Just Jefferson County.
Jefferson County.
Yes.
And then Carla, your area of expertise is then the two programs that she mentioned were the Pets to People.
Yes.
And the Read to Rover.
Right. Okay. The Pets to People program, we take our dogs and we share them with the residents of assisted living centers. And we currently go to Life Care Center, Avamere, which used to be Seaport Landing, and Victoria Place. And we go in and the residents get to interact with our dogs and they get to pet them, and we just sit there and we chat, and they talk about their dogs that they used to have in their lives before they had to many times give them up to move into the facility.
I read your newsletter. You have several of them online, and I would encourage the listeners. It's a great way to get a sense of the tone and character of a nonprofit. It was so heartwarming to read the stories about a couple of the individuals and how they interact with the animals. And just to kind of give a larger look at the program, the Pets to People, what kind of dog would typically go? How often do you go in? And I think it would be really informative for us to understand the difference between a service dog and a therapy dog.
Okay, there's a lot there.
I know.
Any dog can be a therapy dog. We have rescues that have been trained and we have purebred dogs. We have tiny dogs, and we have some pretty huge dogs in our program. And so any dog can do this. They have to be well-trained, and they have to be friendly, and they have to be under control of their handler.
So the handler would come to
the handler always.
I see.
Comes with their dog.
To the assisted living locations.
Well, always.
Always, okay.
Yes. And so we come in and we share our animals with other people and let them interact with the dog.
So do they come, they go to each patient's individual room, or do they meet in a community center?
It varies. At Seaport Landing and Victoria Place, we generally stay in the common area. Mm. And people will come at the, there's a scheduled time, and people will come to the center area, and sometimes they'll flock there, and the dog will have to go all the way around the room several times and say hi to everybody. At Life Care Center, we tend to go into the rooms.
I see.
And I think at the others, we're allowed to go into the rooms, but we just tend to the people who want to see the dogs come to see us.
And what is the longevity of a therapy dog? Do you have some that have been around for 5 years? I mean, these patients, these people must get to know them if your reoccurrence is, what, once a month? Or
No, we either go, well, we go on a schedule, and if you can, if you're a volunteer, you can, for pets to people, you can set the schedule for the next month. When I was doing it with my previous dog, I would go every week.
Oh.
Some people just go twice a month. That's pretty much the how often, more than once a month usually. And the people get to know the dogs very well and look forward to the days that they know you're coming.
Do they give them treats or teach them tricks or engage with them?
That's up to the handler.
I see.
I did not want my dog taking treats, because we had a terrible, the very first day we went to Seaport Landing, and someone dropped a pill on the floor.
Oh, dear.
And he scarfed it up before I even saw that it was there.
Oh, dear.
And so I just didn't want him associating treats with.
Well, if one of our listeners has one of those lovely dogs that's well-behaved and trained, what are the criteria? What are the steps to get involved as a therapy dog through your program? Do they
get in touch with us?
Okay.
And we will schedule a test when we have usually three or four people who have contacted us.
Mm-hmm.
And the test is given by Georgia Towle at the Lucky Dog Training Center in Chimicum. And we are also, I also usually go to the tests. And they're based on the Canine Good Citizen test that the American Kennel Club has. But we've added several items. The Canine Good Citizen, CGC, is, you know, does your dog stay and come and sit on command? And
so it's a
like
really
that.
Codified test.
Yes.
I see.
We add things that you'll encounter in a situation in a therapy dog work, such as walkers or clatter,
distractions.
Lots of distractions, and petting a dog erratically. So if you have someone who doesn't have fine motor control and they go bang, bang, bang on the top of your dog, your dog will just take it.
Yeah, how does he respond, or she respond?
Yes.
Well, this Pets to People is incredibly touching, but I also, you were telling me, Pam, about the opportunity for low-income families or citizens who have an animal and would like to bring an animal into their family life or to their own life, and you provide some support in that way for spaying and neutering?
Yes, we do. We found, when we sort of reorganized, that although the prior practice had been to just, I think, put a coupon in the newspaper or something and anyone could go get their pet fixed, we found from doing some research and looking at other places in the country that if we really targeted folks who were responsible enough to want to spay and neuter their pets, but couldn't afford it, that we would get a bigger bang for mm-hmm. our buck. Mm-hmm. And I think our program, we've found recently, we didn't know it when we started, but apparently it's a unique program in that we don't actually require a fee to apply, and we don't require the client to actually, they can pay what they wish. If they can afford to pay us $10, that's fine. $20, if they can't afford anything, they get the service anyway. They just have to meet our income guidelines. So it's pretty easy. We work with three of the local vets, Hadlock, Chimacum, and Oak Bay does some cats for us. So basically, there's a simple application form. You can find it online.
And do mention your website for our listeners. Find the application on your
right.
website.
Yeah, our website is www.ompetpals.org. So it's www.ompetpals.org. Org.
And they would find it under the spay-neuter section of
yes.
your website?
Yes, they would. And they can also call. We have pretty low overhead, but we do have a dedicated phone for
wonderful. Give us that number.
At 360-301-8142. If you want to leave your name and mailing address, I'll be happy to mail a form to anybody, and they're also available at most of the vet offices, I believe.
So other than your website, how would someone find out this information? Do you put coupons on bulletin boards? Do you hand out flyers to homeless man on the corner with the pet? Or
we have applications in various places. We've had some at the food co-op, I believe, mm-hmm. and we have them at the vet offices. We have some tear off flyers at the post offices. So they're we try to get them around town.
Yeah, it strikes me someone who's on a limited income may or may not have a computer at home. And I think these are incredibly touching programs because this is a part of our humanity is to have that mm-hmm. shared life with a furry friend or family member and the limitation of income and to be a responsible owner. Mm-hmm. So you've got your Pets to People. You've got your spay-neuter program. We kind of gleaned over the Read to Rover program. Carla, can you tell us a little bit about Read to Rover?
Oh, Read to Rover is incredibly fun.
I bet. Okay, well, who does the reading, the dog or the child?
The child reads to the dog.
Oh, my.
Uh-huh. And so we go into the schools. We go in on a particular day, and we go in as a flock of dog teams. So in Chimacum, we have, on any particular day, 16 teams.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And we spread around the school library, and the kids come in, and they have their forever dog. So they're assigned a dog that they can form a relationship with.
Oh, do you have to be a student? Really? Darn.
You have to be a second grader. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And they come in and they read to the dogs, and the dogs listen, more or less. And the cool thing is, you know, the dogs are not judgmental, so the kids feel relaxed and it's easier to read to the dog. And the humans are there, but we're not the focus. We're not tutors.
You step back and let
we'll step in if the kid wants to have some help with reading. But, we often put the focus on the dog. You know, gee, I wonder if Sonny knows that word. What does that word mean? Can you explain it to Sonny?
That is a great way to engage a linguistic development. That is fantastic.
So, yeah.
And it's second graders.
It's second graders. And at Chimacum, we can actually serve every single second grader. So it's not a remedial program where we single out certain kids.
Wonderful.
Everybody gets to go. And that forms a community. They all get shirts. They all wear their red shirts on Friday. And they come in and you could see we are identifying as readers.
Yes. Yes. And practicing that skill set to that, like you said, the non-judgmental listener. Listeners, if you're just tuning in, we're talking to the folks from the Olympic Mountain Pet Pals organization. And they offer so much to this community. I'm curious, how is it that you fund yourself, Carla? What helps you support the organizations? Maybe Pam could answer this for us.
Our the great part of our donation, of our income base, as it is from donations from individuals. We're constantly seeking grants and other avenues, and we've had a few fundraisers. We're a little low on folks to do that at the moment, but I'd have to say most of our money comes from individual donations. So our newsletters come out twice a year. There's a happy envelope in there. We have some wonderful people who've been supporting us for years and years, and hopefully as we get a little better known through things like your program in the community, others will be interested in our program. Sometimes we, as a board, start saying things like, you know, we're all so animal oriented, we're not that great with people, so it's a little harder for us to get out and actually beat the drums and ask for money. But we spend about $40,000 a year in veterinarian bills alone.
And then the service, the therapy dogs, their fees, are there insurance costs involved for you too as an organization?
There are, yeah. We spend about a little over $2,000 a year.
Well, this sounds like a lovely opportunity for a call to action. So I heard you say a little bit about, wouldn't it be wonderful if we had someone to help us fundraise or develop some fundraising mm-hmm. ideas? And I think it's also important for the listeners to consider what I'm also hearing is you've got some really nice opportunities that have a beginning and an end to it. Like mm-hmm. the Read to Rovers is a commitment that's just one day a week type of thing. Mm-hmm. If you want to get your feet wet in a nonprofit, this is a great way to get started because it's confined to a real actionable and rewarding moment.
Yeah. And Pets to People, you set your own schedule. Okay. You don't have to come in on the same, on, you know, the Friday or the Monday as we come in Salish Coast. There are even, so you can kind of scale that to your own activity level. The other thing you can do for Read to Rover, once you're certified, is you can be a sub, a substitute in the program and just be available to come in.
On call. I see.
And those, we need subs very badly because what we are trying to form this relationship with our Forever Kids. We are making a commitment to be there. And if we can't be there, somebody needs to be there for that kid.
And Pam, you were mentioning, you know, your organization is so focused on animals and quite good at that component, and you're looking to stretch your needs for people being involved. I mentioned fundraising. Are there other opportunities for folks that you might think about sharing before we, you know, head out to another direction on this program?
Yeah. We're looking for a board member or two at the moment, and the other things that are important to us are PR, you know, people who have good writing skills, press releases, the newsletter. We're always looking for someone who can make our stories, you know, understandable and appealing.
I was going to say, a good way to get those folks involved is maybe to invite them to get your newsletter. Mm-hmm. If they wanted to get your newsletter to learn more about your organization, would they just email you, or do they need to be a donor? Could they get a newsletter, or is it online? Are your newsletters
PDF'd? They are
online.
Okay. Yeah, and we do also have an email address. I think I've given everything else, but it's olympicmountainpals@gmail.com. So any of those ways of getting a hold of us, please feel free, and we're happy to put you on the newsletter list. We have newsletters, I think, at the various veterinarians and at the animal shelter as well.
It's a wonderful thing that you're doing, you know, saving people's lives, saving animals' lives, and engaging folks in a way that, you know, they can really feel connected beyond just the world that they're in at the moment. Right. In our last moment, anything else you might want to add for our listeners to know about you that they could reach out to you about, supplies or questions? You've given the email address. Your phone number, again, are you pretty responsive to?
It has a message on, but I would always get back to people quickly. So it's 360-301-8142. And before we go, I would just like to also say our statistics are pretty stunning, actually. We've, since 2001, we've provided spay-neuter service for over 5,000 pet cats and dogs.
That's phenomenal.
And almost 2,400 community cats.
And it has an overarching impact on our Humane Society.
Absolutely.
As a consequence
of
that.
It's sort of a two-prong good thing. We help the community by reducing the number of animals, and our shelter is an open admission shelter, which is basically what people call a no-kill. It's a 96% return rate. This would not be the case
if it weren't for your
operation. Programs. And we also help individuals who oftentimes are so appreciative. It's very, very rewarding when I call and tell them we've issued a voucher. And
just going onto your website alone was just heartwarming for me. A huge contrast to the news that we're listening to and reading about.
There you go.
I want to say thank you so much, Carla and Pam, for joining us today. And for our listeners, Everybody Can is a production of KPDZ 91.9. I'm your host, Missy Nielsen. Our program today is in the expert hands of our sound engineer, Jared Dufresne. I would like to thank our programming manager, Larry Stein, and all of the incredible volunteers that work hard to bring eclectic music, local news, and conversations to us here on the North Olympic Peninsula. You can also join us on the web at kptz.org. Go out and make it a great day.